in all of Judea and Samaria. Thanks be to God. Let us sing hymn number 237, stanzas 1 and 4.
Pentecost they gathered quite early in the day. A band of Christ's disciples to worship, sing, and pray. A mighty wind came blowing, filled all the swirling air. And tongues of fire a-glowing inspired each person there. O Spirit sent from heaven on that day long ago, rekindle faith among us in all life's ebb and flow. Oh, give us ears to listen and tongues aflame with praise, so people of all nations glad songs of joy shall raise.
Thank you to our acolyte, Braden Daniels, this morning. May we all bow in a word of prayer. Loving God, today especially, we give thanks for the gift of peace you have bestowed upon us, your disciples, by the Holy Spirit. Just as the Spirit moved Christ's disciples throughout the centuries, so may we catch that Spirit moving among us, rekindling our faith, and transforming all that is hard and dead into new life and new commitment in Christ. We seek your forgiveness this day for all the walls of hostility that we've built which separate us from one another. We seek forgiveness for our failure to share our gifts and talents with others, and for the lack of care we have shown towards the created world. And so, Lord God, today we celebrate your Spirit, which unites your people everywhere, people of every color, every language, and of every nation. We celebrate the peace of Christ that ties us together. We celebrate the Spirit that moves us to nurture one another, to challenge one another, and to celebrate with one another. May we be open today to the new creation you seek to bring about within and among us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. please be seated. Before we get on with our children's sermon, we have one other announcement to make.
This is just a reminder for this coming Saturday, all of you who purchased tickets to go to Andrew's play. This is this Saturday. We're going to meet at church here at 12:30, and we'll carpool over there. Just eat your lunch before you come. So that's just a reminder.
All right, and would the children come forward for the children's sermon as we sing from page 190, this first stanza of Strong, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, everybody. Do you know what that is that you have in your hand? It's the official flag of the United States. Do you know when it was first created? In 1794, and by who? George Washington. Washington, sorry. Do you know when Flag Day is? It's coming up. It's Friday, June 14th. Do you know what the American flag stands for? Freedom, liberty, and human rights. Okay, so we ask everybody to stand up and look at the flag back here. You guys turn around and look at the flag. We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to read one line, and for the little kids that don't know it, you repeat after me, okay? Put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now if we could pray, please. Father God, thank you for watching over our country. Please bless our country, our state, our city, and our families. In Jesus' name we pray always. Amen.
As we have the opportunity to go to God in prayer, we want to remember Carla Ziegler. She is the wife of Roger Blakely's co-worker, Richard Ziegler, and she has a rather significant illness that's been diagnosed that does not have a cure. So that's going to be quite a challenge for Carla. Please keep them in your prayers. David Haynes is now home after he's been hospitalized over at Liberty Hospital, but again, still respiratory concerns, so please remember David in your prayers. Terry Lyons has asked for us to remember her daughter Amanda and granddaughter Monica as they have been traveling to Hawaii, and a grandson Philip who has gone to Peru for about 10 days. Joan, we're going to be lifting you up in prayer with regard to the ankle concern for you. We're going to keep lifting you up in prayer in the days ahead. We also want to remember Joyce Osborne as she is anticipating surgery. Looks like now that's probably going to be sometime in July. We also remember Michelle Jacobo. She's in the Acute Rehabilitation Center, which is on the other side of Rainbow from the KU Medical Center, so just basically west of the hospital system there, making steady progress. Please remember Michelle and her family. And certainly there's been a number of other people we've been lifting up in prayer, but certainly it's been encouraging to see a steady progressive progress being made for a number of people we've been remembering. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and holy God, it is with humble hearts that we bow before you this Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate your reassuring presence evidenced by the blessing of your Holy Spirit upon the early believers of the church on Pentecost hundreds of years ago. As your believers then were empowered to prophesy and witness to your glory, we pray that we also will experience the empowerment of your Spirit at the time of our conversion and baptism, and thus we too will be able to be conduits of your great love and grace. And as our remembrance of the 75th anniversary of D-Day has passed in recent days, we also offer our thanks to the thousands who gave the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for the freedoms many enjoy, not only in this country, but in Europe and far beyond. This Lord's Day, O God, we seek your blessing for those suffering the loss of loved ones. We pray for those dealing with illness, hardship, and personal challenge. For those affected by recent storms and floods, we seek your comfort in the midst of recovery. And as your Spirit inspires and guides us, we pray that in thanksgiving, we will be inspired to give the best of ourselves for the betterment of our society and nation, as we are privileged to honor your name in worship this Pentecost Sunday. Guide us this day and always, as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our reading this morning comes from the first chapter of Acts, verses 6 through 11. And you may find that in your pew Bible on page 993. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and as they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
Oh,
This past week in this nation, in France, and throughout much of Europe, citizens paused to offer thanks and to remember the 75th anniversary of the days in which more than 150,000 troops began their march across the beaches of northern France in a quest to destroy the Nazi regime and offer freedom of thought, expression, and destiny to generations of Europeans. This past week, many throughout the world also remembered the 30th anniversary of days in June 1989, in which thousands of citizens of one country protested peacefully in an effort to gain a new level of personal freedom and destiny. Yet the memory of those days has been deliberately erased by that country's leaders, so that absolutely no remembrance is preserved among their youth today. Every Sunday, we deliberately choose to remember and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, so that every generation, past, present, and future, will remember the sacrifice that Christ made for the forgiveness of humanity's sins. As he offered up bread and a simple cup, Jesus said, "Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me." May we never forget that this Lord's Day, and every Lord's Day, it is a privilege for us to remember what Christ has done for us. Our communion hymn this morning is hymn number 241, as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Holy Spirit, Truth Divine.
Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine. Voice of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. Spirit, power divine, fill and nerve this will of mine. Boldly may I always live, bravely serve and gladly give.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, we give thanks for these emblems. The bread that represents your son's body, and the juice that represents his blood. As we take of these emblems, let it remind us to be mindful of your instructions to be loving to others. Lord, we ask that you bless these emblems and those who take of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. this Pentecost Sunday, in which the early saints of the church were marked with the tongues of flame that indicated the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are also reminded that Jesus bore the marks of beating, scourging, and even crucifixion for the remission of our sins. Even the Apostle Paul reminded early Christians that he too bore on his body the marks of Jesus as he suffered much for the promotion of the gospel. So as we receive our tithes and offerings and our privilege to give an offering to help establish new churches in the Kansas City region, may we give generously in thanksgiving for what God our Lord and indeed Jesus Christ our Savior, the Apostle Paul and many others have done for the benefit of the kingdom here on earth. We receive our offering as Kathy leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear us, Heavenly Father, especially on this day of Pentecost, when we glorify and celebrate the great gift of the Holy Spirit, may we give lovingly and freely from our bounty, ever mindful that every bounty that we have comes from your love for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we're grateful for the day and on this Pentecost Sunday to be mindful that your Spirit dwells among us in such a significant way to guide us and to help us be significant witnesses for the benefit of your glory here on earth. For the privilege to be a part of your kingdom, we are indeed grateful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is indeed Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days since Easter. Now, can you remember Easter? Think back. Easter just this year, not 20 years ago, just this past Easter. Well, it seems like it's way back there now, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, it was back in snow. You know, when that pile of snow was up, so I couldn't even see the cars out the door there. Remember that pile? Back then, that was Easter. Pentecost, 50 days later. Significant day in the life of the church because the blessing of the Holy Spirit came upon
the apostles and all the believers as they gathered in Jerusalem for what was then called the Feast of Weeks. But yet, rather than talk about Pentecost, I want to talk about an event that took place 40 days after Easter, because it's an event that's so often overlooked, unless, of course, you are like Anglican, like my son is now, or like Mennonite. One of our church members was saying that she went to go get some flowers at one of the Mennonite communities because they always do such a good job of growing flowers that last a long time. She drove, got to that Mennonite community on Thursday, the 30th of May. Not a place was open. Why? Because the Mennonite people actually pause and worship on Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter. What's Ascension Day? Well, it's the day that we remember that Jesus rose up into the heavens. So many of our faith groups, we kind of forget about the Ascension. We just pass over it like it's, you know, someplace to fly over. But it's not. It's one of the main premises of Christ's witness, was it not? His death, his resurrection, his ascension, and then Pentecost starts the church, right? So the ascension is something for us to remember. But what were you doing on the 30th of May, which was Ascension Day this year? 30th of May, 10 days ago. What were you doing? You know, I had to look back on my calendar even to try to remember if there was any significance about that day. And yeah, 4 o'clock, Carrie and I both had to go to the dentist. Thank goodness it wasn't a huge bill, you know. That's all that we did that day that was significant, right? But on the day of his ascension, the text tells us that Jesus' apostles had been taken by Jesus to Bethany, community outside of Jerusalem to the east. We've already talked about Bethany before. Remember who lived there? And yet outside of Bethany, Mount of Olives is not very far. And there the ascension took place. But yet our text this morning in Acts chapter 1 tells us that for 40 days after his resurrection, what did Jesus do? It says that the text tells us that he appeared to them many times and in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. Acts chapter 1 verse 3. And they saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Again, they'd already seen so many miracles. They'd already experienced even the resurrection of at least 3 people before Jesus himself, right? They'd already had a lot of wonderful things to remember Jesus by. But before he was to leave, he wanted them to know about the kingdom of God. And yet, their idea about what the kingdom of God was to be like and what Jesus was saying it was going to be like was two different worlds. In fact, as we read further on here in this first chapter of the book of Acts, look at the sixth verse. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" What do they mean? They're thinking in political, military terms. The idea of giving the kingdom back, they were hearkening back to the era of time in which Solomon was king. And the land of Israel was a predominant world power in that era, right? What did so many of the Jewish people want to experience? They wanted to see a new Israel established that would have world dominance. Now, when you have a landmass that's only about 120 miles long and about 40 miles wide, that's not a lot of ground to work with, is it, to have world dominance? I think the only country that ever had a little bit of land and a whole lot of influence on the world would have been who? Great Britain. But other than that, you better have a bunch of property if you want to rule the world. But yet, that was still in the mindset even of the apostles. I think that's part of the reason why they were so big on the idea about who was going to sit at the left and the right hands of Jesus, right? Remember all those arguments? It's spoke about all that before. Yet, what we see is Jesus is not interested in a political kingdom. He's interested in a spiritual kingdom. And even in his response, we see that Jesus does not rebuke them. He doesn't even go that direction. What he does do, however, is that he starts talking about the coming of the second kingdom. Again, speaking in spiritual terms, Jesus says in the next verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 7, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be." So he skips the whole idea of a political situation altogether, doesn't he? Starts talking about things of the Spirit, things of even the second coming. And then, of course, we get into verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. "But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," Jesus says to them, "you will be filled with power, and you'll be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again, he's still talking in spiritual terms, and he says, hey, yeah, there's going to be a kingdom. That'll come one day. But you need to know, more importantly, here soon, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And so many times Jesus had talked about the blessing of the Holy Spirit, especially during that time that he shared with them after the Lord's Supper and before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Great deal of conversation about the blessing of the Spirit. Now he's saying, the Spirit is going to come upon you and you'll be filled with power. What kind of power is he talking about? Not political power, not military power. He's talking about spiritual influence. And you will become witnesses, Jesus says. What's interesting is that in the Greek language of which this text would have been written, the word for witness is the same word for martyr in Greek. Witness is also a martyr. Isn't that interesting? What happens to all the apostles except John? All of them die for the faith, do they not? John kind of dies of old age. But the others all die sharing the gospel news. You will have power, but it is the power to transform the hearts and minds of people to love one another and to love God. Right? That's the real power they are to experience. And their collective witness would be like that stone that drops into a calm pond. It creates a ripple effect. Because Jesus says it'll go from Jerusalem to where? To Samaria, Judea, all the way across to all the ends of the earth. And of course, we know that the Christian faith resides in all corners of the world, even today. And then, after this prophecy, then what happens? The ascension itself takes place in the next verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. "After saying this, Jesus was taken up into heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Now, have you ever wondered, why did Jesus have to go through this thing called ascending? Why not just do the Star Trek thing where all of a sudden his body just goes into, you know, a bazillion little bitty particles, and then poof, there's nothing there. Why not that? Beam me up, Scotty. How many times have we been on the highway? We just wish we could get beamed somewhere. Just let me get there. I'm so tired of driving, right? Why? Raise up into the sky. In this time period of biblical history, everyone, no matter how intelligent you were, everyone believed that humanity resided on this terra firma, this earth, you know, that we have on our, below our feet. It was believed that Hades, or the place of the demons, if you will, was in the underground. That's why even places that were, had big caves were places where they worshiped the pagan gods. And one of them being just to the northern part of the land of Israel. And then, of course, God resided where? Up in the heavens. It made absolutely perfect sense to them for Jesus to literally ascend from the ground, to just literally rise up and be covered in the clouds and to disappear. up where? Into the heavens. It was the idea that Jesus was, in fact, ascending into God's heavenly realm. And that is part of what they would carry forth in their witness. Not only would they say that Jesus died for forgiveness of humanity's sin, but Jesus rose from the dead victorious, and he dwelt among us for 40 days. And then he did what? He ascended into the heavens. That message they carried with them as they went from place to place to place. But what is the significance of the ascension of Christ? First of all, it was the way in which Jesus ended his earthly ministry. He could not reside here on earth forever. If he had, the significance would have been lost with what? Another death. He had to ascend. Secondly, we see that what Jesus is doing is that he is returning to the realm of God's glory. And he is, third thing he is doing is that he is seated at the right hand of God. It was a way to express the notion that here he wasn't just some mystic figure. Jesus was, in fact, God. Wow. And there are so many scripture texts in the New Testament that reinforce this notion that Jesus is of God. We look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Christ arose into the heaven, and then he sits on the right hand of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, and continuing, Christ is seated at the right side of God in the heavenly world. Philippians chapter 2, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. Colossians chapter 1, it is by God's own decision that the Son himself is in the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's death on the cross, and so brought him to himself, and to himself all things, both of heaven and of the earth. So you see, the ascension is a big deal for so many of us Christian people. Ascension Day is just one more day on the calendar, about the 30th of May. I don't know what I was doing then. Maybe we ought to be like the Mennonites or like some of the other faith groups where we pause and really remember Christ's ascension. But what does the ascension mean for you and for me? You know, it really ought to mean a lot. We talk about a lot about Jesus dying on the cross. We talk about his resurrection. We ought to talk about his ascension more, because Christ's ascension tells you and me that one day we too will rise up. You know, we so easily get burdened by the stuff of this earth, whether it be our personal problems, whether it be economic issues, whether it be health issues. You know, we can just get drugged down into the muddy muck and mire of just trying to plod through day to day to the point where it just seems to evaporate the very joy within our hearts. And yet, imagine yourself ascending, just ascending. What would it be like to ascend into the heavens? I think the most dramatic experience I ever had of this is that years ago, one of the members of my church in San Antonio owned his own helicopter. Now, this wasn't some big helicopter. This was a little bitty helicopter. It was so small that, you know, we just kind of sat there, and there was an opening here. He sat here, I sat here. And the canopy just went straight down, and the glass went all the way down to the feet. I mean, so you're not in a lot of anything. It's like not being in anything at all. But what was remarkable is that this young gentleman, he also was his own helicopter mechanic. So did his helicopter run smooth? You bet it did, because, I mean, he felt any kind of vibration, he replaced that part. I mean, it was just while we were sitting there on the tarmac with our headphones on and everything, it was just so smooth. I thought we were doing nothing. And all of a sudden, I just happened to headphones on and talking and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, the ground just started disappearing. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. We're going up. I did not feel it. I didn't feel it. But we were just rising up, smooth as glass. And I thought, wow, that must be what the ascension is like. So I can say I've ascended. It was an incredible feeling to ascend from the earth and to watch all that stuff disappear. You know, it was really fun. We got up in the air, kind of we made our way over to Interstate Loop 410, what I call Big, Big Highway. Followed along. It's like, hey, look at all you guys down there. And then we went over our neighborhood, looked at the house. I didn't know so many of my neighbors had swimming pools. Used to be an old military officer's neighborhood, but not in my time period. You see? But what a wonderful experience to kind of rise above it all and to see that one's problems seem so small, because they really are. Christ's ascension tells us we too will one day ascend. Ephesians chapter 2, the sixth verse, in our union with Christ Jesus, God raises us up with Him to rule with Him in the heavenly world, the text says. So no matter what your issues may be, no matter what your aches and pains may be, no matter what your worries may be, celebrate Christ's ascension. For it also reminds you and me that we one day will ascend into the heavens and be victorious. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day you need to make that confession of faith. Maybe today is the day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 622. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Let us sing stanzas 1 and 3 of 622, please.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to Thee. I will ever give to Thee.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this Pentecost Sunday, and may the peace and presence of God be with you always through the new week. May we pray. Merciful God, guide us as we journey forward in the new week. We know Your Holy Spirit desires to guide us so that our words and our expressions may truly be pointing always to Your kingdom here on earth. Guide us to be powerful witnesses for the faith. It is in Christ's name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what Thou dost love and do what Thou wouldst do. until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine.
Say hi.
Hey, they told me not to talk to strangers.